I'm joined in the studio by Lee Skidmore, and we are going to have a gardening discussion this morning. It's pretty cold out there, but it's never too early to get ready for spring.
I think it helps to get ready early. Then you're not rushed. And if you need something, you've got a list. And when you see it come out in the stores, then you can grab it.
And right now I see you have seed catalogs before you. So is now the time to get your seeds, or should you have already purchased them? Or?
It's never too late to order seeds. It takes a couple of days and you have them. So when you look at a seed catalog, it's like the science textbook that you used in high school and thought, I'll never use this information. But the way you learn to use that book is how you would use a seed catalog. You know, you look at the title page and find out where the seed catalog is. And if it's overseas, I kind of put those aside. But and if you need to make a phone call, it's much cheaper to call within the U.S., and then you need to find out if they will ship to Alaska.
And that always seems to be a trick.
It is a trick. But most people or groups will send seed packets. And you can always have it sent to a relative that's south and have them ship it on up.
I have a question about, I know it says like zone, what zone you're for. Is it clear that these will work in southeast Alaska? Do you have to do some detective work to figure out if they will grow well here?
The new maps have zones for Alaska, and they pretty much are aligned. I mean, they seem to me to be about the same as the ones in Seattle. But that's something you need to watch for when you're trying seeds so that, you know, I bought artichokes because it said they were very pretty and symmetrical. Well, they were supposed to be in a warm Mediterranean climate, so they just didn't work. So if you read your seed catalog and the packaging, you'll have a much better experience. And it's all now done in pictures. Everything you need to know about the seeds is in pictures. You know, when it says full shade, there's a circle that's colored charcoal, so you need, that means full shade. Or if it's not colored at all, that means it can stand or needs full sun. But there's something for everything, the amount of water, where, soil, how long to wait till the soil gets warm in order to start planting. But it's all right there. There's an index. There's a glossary where it gives you the definition of all the terms. It's divided into new, old, best rated, exotic. And so just treating this like you did a book in high school. If you treated your books, if you read them, then it will help you get started with your seeds. And I think you'll have better.
I would imagine also it helps to just talk to friends.
Yes. Last month's garden club meeting, we talked about seed catalogs and which ones were our favorites. And then we talked about making seed tape and actually made seed tape sitting there in the library. And that's so much fun to do. It's something you can do now in these long, dark nights. And you can do it with kids. You can have neighbors over with have tea and cookies and make seed tape. And making seed tape is really, really easy.
And this is for your littler seeds.
More like carrot seeds, yeah. Something that you waste a lot of your seeds because you just take them and sprinkle them on the top of the soil. This, you make like cornstarch and water paste, and you make little dabs on cut toilet paper or Kleenex or paper towels. And then you use a toothpick to touch this cornstarch mixture, pick up a seed, put it in the dot of cornstarch, and then get the next one. And you actually, one packet of carrot seeds should last a couple of years if you don't have to waste them. And there's no thinning required if you've used a seed tape. Because oftentimes when you pull out... You damage the neighbor ones. And even if you cut the one you don't want, the fact that it's going to decompose right there can damage the close by seeds.
Now, I guess the spacing would be indicated on the packet.
It is. And that's also a symbol, you know, however many quarter inches or millimeters between seeds that you need. And if you're going to transfer the seeds from one, you know, from indoor pots or bunched up together, then it it's easier if they're not touching. But to make seed tape, you need 2 tablespoons of cornstarch and 1/2 cup of water. Bring it to a boil, let it cool, and there's your medium to use like glue to stick the seeds to your paper.
Are you boiling it to make a glue, or
yes,
is it? It's not like to, what do you say, disinfect it or sanitize it or anything?
No,
it's
no.
It's just to make a glue.
To make a glue, and it's organic. It decomposes quickly, doesn't hurt the seed, and it's not like using white glue that can completely encase the seed and then it doesn't grow, because this is very water soluble. So it's like making a lemon meringue pie, that mixture that you make to make the filling. Yeah, that's, and it's fun, and kids like to do that. So do adults. We made yards and yards and yards. And you can make them to fit certain pots. You can use a strip for a row, or if you have a certain pot that you want to plant your basil in, you can do cut a circle out of your paper towel and put your seeds on that. And it's just something that's very expensive to buy already made, but quick and easy to make on your own.
So we're talking about getting your seeds, making your seed tape. It's, again, it's kind of cold out there. What can we do with our gardens themselves? It seems like it's probably too early to start digging and things.
It really is. My ground is frozen.
It's frozen, right.
Yeah, because I went to dig potatoes, and there's no possible way. I mean, you dump it out, and it's just one block of frozen soil. So, but there are things that you can do. Where you can stay inside where it's warm and dry. You can start your garden journal. List the seeds that you bought. Tape your seed packets in. And then if it's a good seed, works well for you, you're satisfied with the results, write that on the seed packet or beside it so that you'll know, try this one again next year. Or if it's a total flop, write, you know, didn't work, so that you don't waste your $4 on another packet of seeds that just won't work. You can also start inventorying your supplies, things like starting mix and the pellets for your little boxes where you put the pellets and water, and then they grow right there. So that when they come in to the grocery store, North Shore and Walmart, that you can grab them quickly. I have a list on my phone that says what I need and about how many, because things sell out quickly. Like last year, I usually buy 5 bags of potatoes, 3-pound bags. I only got 3. And had I bought them when they first came in, I would have had as many as I normally have, because I don't have potatoes to really give away now. You can keep track of things so that if you need special supplies, like I need new gloves with those silicone grippers. I didn't think I saw any last year, but I like those for pulling larger weeds and clumps of grass. And I don't have to memorize what I need. I just look at my list. Oh, I need that. Oh, I need that. Oh, I bought too many last year. You can also buy a dip for your tools, for your small hand tools that you dip the handle in. And then it makes it gripper friendly, and it doesn't slide in your hand, and you don't get blisters. It's time to de-rust the tools and sharpen them. And that's fun. And if you have boys, that's something they like to do because they get to use more tools.
You talked about the dipping it. Is that for wooden handles, or could it be plastic as well?
I do it on all of them. I like usually paint things yellow, so that I can see them if I leave them out. But this is actually easier on my hands because it's like a rubber coating that you put on them. I think it's a Flex Seal, but I'm not sure. I don't quite remember. But it's advertised heavily in early spring so that you can do that. And then you just let it dry and you've got almost like a new tool, because there's, if it's wood, there's no varnish coming off, no splinters. And I didn't take and sand them, you know, so they're perfectly smooth. I just knocked the dust off and dipped them in. And I need to be a little more careful because I laid them down and then they had a flat side. But, you know, that's not a big deal. It works better for me So,
and then with respect to sharpening your tools, is there a trick to doing that?
Sharp them like you would scissors. You want to be very careful because you have to use a fine rasp so that when you, you know, you go over that edge, you're putting, you're making the edge sharper rather than dulling it. And you want to go from inside out and then turn it over and go from the middle of the tool out so that you're actually sharpening it, putting a sharp edge on it. If you go along that edge with a rasp or sandpaper, you can make that very dull and then it's harder to dig with. And you can do that on all your tools. I have like a clam fork. It looks like a three-prong giant fork that I just take, and it's round. The tines are round. I just will get sandpaper since there's no edge and just kind of twist it around it so that it gets all the rust off, and then I can spray paint it with like a Rust-Oleum paint to keep it from rusting. The tools look new, so maybe I'll take better care of them. And the kids like to do that kind of stuff. They love to spray paint. They love sandpaper. Whether they're my grandkids or the neighbor kids, they'll sit in sandpaper and spray paint and dip and just really enjoy it. And then you can encourage them to think about gardening.
Teach them about gardening.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you paint your tools? The metal part of the tool?
No, I don't do anything
just
to
the
metal. Sand the metal. And then spray paint it with a rust preventative.
Okay, gotcha. So it's not a paint, it's a sealant, like a rust sealant or rust preventative.
I don't know. You get it in the paint department at Madison. And you, if you ask the guys for, tell them what you want to do, they will point you in the direction and you can have your choice of two or three things. And it's, then you're not buying tools all the time. And unless you buy really expensive aluminum heavy-duty tools, if you have to buy a new small trowel and a new rake every year, it can get to be expensive. And if you have to throw it away because you left it out and it the wooden handle soaked water and then split, it's expensive. Just, you know, a little bit of time and you can save yourself some money and feel good about helping the environment.
And let's talk about storing your tools. I mean, now you're going to be getting them out, but at the winter time, what should you have done, or in the fall, to store them? Do you just stick them in the garage, or you clean them up?
Well, in theory, you should clean them up, and you probably need to spray them with some kind of an oil protectant. I just throw my small tools in a bin. I do wash the mud off and then let them dry and throw them in the bin, and the bigger tools I hang up, and I bought one of those things that you push the handles in at Madison, and I finally got smart and hung where the rake and the shovel head is up above my head so that I don't run into it all the time. And I can see what I have. I can see what I need to do to it. And I'm the kind of a lazy gardener. If I don't have to do all that prep work on my tools this year, I won't do it. I'll wait and do it again next year. And they look pretty hanging up. And one of these days,
it's nice and organized.
Yeah, I want to paint flowers on them or, you know, stuff like that to make them pretty. But, you know, you could spray paint the handles different colors. And again, kids love spray paint, and so you could just let them spray away. Put them outside, give them a mask and goggles and gloves, and slip a plastic bag over their heads and cut a neck hole so that they don't get spray paint all over their clothes, and supervise and just have fun. So, I think I just covered a whole bunch of stuff.
What do you mean by that, discovered?
Well, we talked about the seed journal, and start it now and keep track of the seeds that you buy and inventory your supplies, buy them as they come in. And by buying a few each week or each month, it's not such a big, huge expense. Special supplies that you might need, like it's time for me to buy a pH tester for my soil. I don't think my soil pH varies very much, but every 5 years or so, I think it's good to know what your pH is, because for some things you might need to adjust the pH, add some lime to sweeten the soil. Paint the tool handles, protect them now, de-rust and sharpen them. So, yeah, we did all of that. And then I gave you the recipe for seed tape. So it's, and it's fun.
And again, a reminder on that, it was 2 tablespoons?
1 tablespoon cornstarch and 1/2 cup water. Bring that to a boil, let it cool. I put mine in a Ziploc bag and cut the corner off so you can squeeze out a daub at a time. And you just want a daub. You don't want, I mean, a lentil size is big enough. Because all it has to do is hold the seed to the
paper.
The paper, yeah. And then let it completely dry right on the paper what it is. And you can even do spacing, you know, like if this is basil and you want it every 6 inches, you can write that on there so that whenever you are ready to plant a row of basil or a disc of basil, you know exactly what it is. And you can write again whatever the date that you plant it, so you know when you can be expected. Most paper is now biodegradable, so as soon as you get it planted, it starts composting, and so it completely disappears.
So now we're getting our seeds ready and together, but you're not going to plant them. I mean, you indoors you might, yes? Or when should you be planting things?
Well, I use the information on the seed packet, and it gives you 2 things. Direct sow outside and how many days after the last average frost or average days. And then if it's to be sown indoors and then planted out, it tells you about how many days or weeks before the last frost that you need to start them indoors. And it's simply a matter of looking at it and saying, oh, this is 3 weeks before indoors, and then take it out. I write on the calendar, you know, transplant cilantro outside. And then I know, oh, I got to go get the cilantro because it's now 8 inches tall and planted out. But that's another thing that you can do in your garden journal. But in your seed catalog, all that information is given to you. And a lot of it is given in pictures so that you know when and where and all of that. And it just makes all of that so much easier.
We should have, or if we haven't, it's too late now, to get your bulbs in. They'll be coming up? Or
it's never too late. If you have bulbs that didn't get planted, go ahead and plant them. They might not come up this year, but they'll come up next year. The ground is frozen, so you can't plant them in the ground. But you can put them in pots and put the pot out and let nature water it and take care of it for you. I had some paper whites, which is in the daffodil family, that the bag got separated from the others. And I thought, oh, dear. And as long as they don't smell like they've started to rot, and they're still nice and firm, I go ahead and plant. I mean, they were too expensive to toss them out. And if
they can't hurt to try.
That's right. And, you know, you might get 1 of the 6 that you planted, but it'll be there again next year. And if you find bulbs at the grocery store or someplace, I'll check to make sure that it smells okay, that it doesn't have that yucky, rotting smell to it, and that it's nice and firm, and then go ahead and plant it. Things like ranunculus, the seed is hard and dry. And it kind of looks like a little hand to me because it's got ridges on it. As long as that's firm, buy it, plant it, and see what comes up. And you can usually get out-of-date things for just pennies. Like I think seeds from last year are half to 75% off the package price. And I buy those, mix them in with new seeds so that I can, you know, sprinkle them across, especially if it's basil or herbs, the top of a pot. And I always get a lot of seeds or a lot of plants that come up that way. So, as far as protecting things from freezing, there's a lot of different ways, and some people just don't do anything. They just think, well, hey, they come up now, it must be okay. And the flowering part doesn't usually come up first. Like with your bulbs, the leaves come up, and it might be 2 or 3 weeks before the flower stalk comes out. So you really, unless you are very tender-hearted and you don't want even the leaves to maybe be damaged, just leave them alone. You can buy frost blankets. They're polypropylene sheets that you cover your plants with. Here we have a wind problem, and you may pick them up in the neighbor's yard. They can be expensive. You have to put them out before the frost begins, and then you have to go out and take the frost off if it's frost cover off, because if it's sunny, the polypropylene can cook the plant under there. And they work down to about 24 degrees. They mean it nothing is going to come up if it's zero outside.
So it's pretty cold right now. So should people be protecting their plants or just leave them be?
I leave mine be. Or if I'm very concerned, I will buy the tiny bark chips and sprinkle that over the top. Maybe make a 2-inch layer. And then when I'm ready to start working the soil, I will just work that in the soil, because it decomposes very rapidly and it adds nutrients and airspace, and it looks pretty, I think. If you have tender plants, you can buy the frost blankets and wrap it around it. Lots of people do that the first year that the plant's in the ground, and then after that, we assume that it's okay, its root system is established, and it will be fine. Rhodies look bad when they're real cold. The leaves all droop. But I don't know of anybody who tries to wrap their rhodies. Some people wrap new fruiting trees, apples and cherries, and you just buy a blanket and wrap it around. A lot of the crafters who come into the Rendezvous thrift store will buy the polyester quilt batting. You know, it's fluffy and thick, and they will use that to cover tender plants. But you can always bring it inside when it is so cold out, or put it under the deck or in a corner someplace where it's a little more protected. You can also throw like cedar boughs on top of it to insulate it a bit. I just don't know a lot of people who spend a lot of time piling stuff up so that the plants don't freeze. My tulips and daffodils are about 1/2 inch out of the ground, but again, it's the leaves that are coming up. And if the leaves freeze, you know, learn, bulb, you should have waited another month. But they seem to be fine.
And it does seem the weather seems to be a little odd, but maybe not.
Is this the new normal for us?
Exactly. I don't know.
It's really cold, but snow's coming, and snow acts as an insulation from the really, really cold weather. And I think most of us are pretty careful about what we buy to plant. I know North Shore is careful about bringing plants in that will thrive in this environment and not bring in something unless it's something that, you know, it says on the pot or the label must be kept indoors. Yeah. Like Meyer lemons. I know lots of people who have Meyer lemons that should be outside or can be outside in the summertime. But then in the wintertime, you bring them in and put them on the island and you have a lemon tree in your kitchen. So, yeah. What else can I tell you about that? We're done with protecting bulbs. If anybody has other ways that they protect their bulbs, you know, let me know, or specific things that they protect. I do have one thing that I am very careful with, and that is a pineapple lily. I don't know its genus and species name, but it comes in like in early September, and it stays on the shelf in my garage unwatered until I see the sprout come up. And then I take it back outside because it would freeze. It's like a begonia. You have to be very careful and specific with it and get it in before frost and get it out after frost. But it's beautiful and I love it. And I brought it from me when I came from California in 1990, and I still have parts of that plant available. So I think we get more wind damage than frost damage. I think the wind is dry and is more desiccating to the plants than anything. So, see what else we can talk about. I seem to be talking way too fast. We talked about seed catalogs, and we talked about, let's talk about the Garden Club February meeting. We're going to be talking about pruning. C.J. David Schofer is our speaker, and we've had to change our meeting date from tomorrow evening, from the 12th to the 26th. And he's putting together a PowerPoint presentation on pruning. So if I send him pictures of my roadies, he will show the picture and then on screen show where he would prune this plant. And then I can go home and do it myself. And think how good I will feel. I pruned my roadie. And roadies, you know, if I prune them this year, I won't have flowers. But I will have an abundance of flowers. And the plant will be bushier next year. But that's the plan. And so you just put your picture on the Garden Club Facebook page. And then you will learn how to prune your plants. And
if you are you saying in advance, just send your picture
just
in?
Just send your
submit
picture.
Your picture, and then at the presentation, he will give examples.
He will give examples. He'll show you with the pictures that he has or that were submitted to show you where to prune. And if I'm watching him show you where to prune your roadie, I should be able to take a lot of that information home with me and prune my roadie the same way. So.
All right. And is it specifically rhododendrons
or
other plants or
any
trees as well?
Any plant that you think needs some pruning help and are too concerned about damaging the tree or the shrub to do it without help. This is a way to get help, and then you would be helping others by sharing your plant.
I was going to say, and also pruning is a good thing. I think sometimes, I don't want to damage the tree or cut the tree back, or it looks nice. Why should I do this? But pruning, it needs to be pruned periodically.
Some need to be pruned, right? Especially if there's wind damage or the branch is too heavy and it breaks. You need to remove it quickly so that it doesn't split the tree, and insects don't get into that split and kill the tree. But if it's gotten real leggy and floppy, you need to prune it back and get it under control. If you want an airier look, so you want to take out some of the middle part, you can do that. You can also make it a different shape. I mean, if it looks like a lollipop tree, you might want to prune some of that out so that it's beginning to look more like a tree that you see naturally growing. But pruning is a very good thing. And you prune each kind of plant differently. You would prune a roadie this way and a rose bush that way and your berry vines that way. And so it's a good thing to learn. So anyway, that's the way that. What if I've talked about everything? We could use some phone calls with questions.
We only have a few minutes left here. I'm assuming there's someone out there who can answer the phones. So if you do have a last-minute question, you can give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And we can do this again, Lee, sometime as we get farther into spring.
Yes, I would love to come back.
And check in and learn more about gardening tips. But for right now, you can check out seed packets. I should also point out the library has a seed, what do you want to call it?
Seed exchange
or a
giveaway.
Yeah, but they have, it's a library, I guess a section where it's a whole drawer of different seeds. And so if you wanted to try to experiment with different kinds of seeds, that's a good way to just get some free seeds and give them a try.
Absolutely. And they scheduled two or three seed, I think they called them exchanges last year. And it was fun. And then they do a lot of seed planting with kids. So, but it's fun, grab the neighbor kids and plant seeds or, get your grandkids or just people who don't normally garden. Get them starting with coleus seeds.
Or something simple in the house, like have it with just have a little pot, something that's really, really simple. And we do have a caller. Hang on a second while I get this together. Okay, and if I did that correctly, we should have Karen online on the phone line. Hello, Karen, are you there?
I'm here. The question I had to do with potatoes. I hear people buying potatoes from the store and planting them. Is that possible? Or where do you get your bags?
You can get bags. I don't know that the grocery stores sell seed potatoes. That's what they're called when they're grown specifically to plant to reproduce. I know people who let the potatoes, you know, sprout in the pantry and plant those and do get potatoes.
My understanding is a lot of those aren't, but they're treated, so they're not necessarily going to grow properly.
Right, they're treated with a growth inhibitor so they don't, you know, do that. Organic potatoes may work well. When I do sweet potatoes, I buy my sweet potatoes at the grocery store because they're not treated.
But you otherwise go to a nursery, they sell them?
They sell them, yeah. You're going to pay a little more for seed potatoes, but you get potatoes specifically to plant and raise more potatoes. And there's every kind of potato available now. So did we answer your question or did we just?
No, you did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. Good luck.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. And it is sometimes, you know, people try to grow things from stuff in the grocery store and sometimes it will work and sometimes it won't.
It does. I mean, I know, and it's fun to plant the bottom of the celery or the carrot for greens and just all kinds of fun stuff. And there's whole websites devoted to doing that.
All right. Well, we are pretty much out of time. Thank you very much, Lee Skidmore, for coming in this morning. And again, we'll check in and have more gardening information throughout the spring and summer. For now, get your gardens together, start looking for your seeds, getting your tools ready. And if you can, you will have more information about the library presentation on pruning coming up. And again, that's an opportunity to learn something else in the gardening world.